Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Grecian's Gossip. I'm joined by the usual crowd: David Byram,
hello;
Dan Clark,
hello;
and Jamie Hawkins.
Hiya.
A few bits to discuss. So I guess we'll start off with the most obvious point, which is the win away at Carlisle at the weekend. Now, Jamie, you were there for Express and Echo Devon Live. 1-0 win. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, such a good game actually. Quite open the first 5 minutes. Carlisle had a couple really good chances, and then Jaden Stockley had that over-air kick which just hit the post. It was really unlucky. So it's quite a frantic opening quarter or so, and then it settled down a bit. Still had a few more chances. City dominated the first half and deservedly took the lead, with Pierce Sweeney in the second half. And Carlisle, you know, they pull on the pressure, as you expect, being the home side chasing the game, but they didn't really create too many clear-cut chances. They were just putting cross after cross after cross in the box, and Christy Pym was outstanding, and he just dealt with pretty much every single one of them. Pulled off an amazing save. It looked a certain goal, and then tipped it onto the bar and managed to clear it as well. You know, we did ride our luck a couple of times with that, but then on the other hand, Reid and Stockley had great chances to wrap the game up. So it was a great performance, a great game, a great day, you know, 1-0 win away. You know, Carlisle have been a bit shaky at home. They won 3 home games in 2017, but it's always to go all the way up there and get a win. It really sets out a marker, I think, for City, and I guess a warning for everyone else in League Two that, you know, winning away matches, clean sheets as well, and back to the top of the league, and it's only looking good at the moment.
It's kind of result manager's love, isn't it? 1-0 away from home, particularly a difficult place to go like Carlisle. That's manager's dream, isn't it? Really? You mentioned Christy Pym. I mean, he's a player who perhaps hasn't necessarily won over all City fans out there, but by the sounds of it, had kind of a very good performance.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, I've always been a bit unsure about him, mainly over his distribution. You know, he kept doing it at Wembley. If you can't keep the ball in at Wembley, there's something wrong there. But, you know, on his day, he's as good as anyone in the league, I think. And just how commanding he was in the area, you know, putting in crosses, and he just, you know, caught most of them as well. And he just looked so calm. And, you know, he didn't really have many shots to deal with. As I said, it was mainly crosses. But when he was called upon, he really, really stepped up to the mark. And I think this season he's really matured, and he just seems to be, you know, keeping his head down and getting on with it. I know he's had a few issues in the past, reports of fallings out with Tisdale, you know, or whatnot. Whatever's happened seems to have been put behind him, and he's really, you know, claimed the number one spot, grabbed it with both hands. And yeah, like I said, if it weren't for him on Saturday, we wouldn't have left with 3 points for sure.
David, it's a bigger picture. How important do you see that result? I mean, 1-0 win, it's ideal, isn't it?
Well, it takes City back to the top of the league as well, and you can't sort of argue with that, I guess. And yeah, I mean, vital, you know, as Jamie said, Carlisle aren't in great form, but it's a difficult place to go. And at the same time, if they're not in great form, then it means other teams are winning there too. So if you're going to be up there at the end of the season, you've really got to win those sort of games. So, you know, bigger picture, it just sort of keeps City, you know, moving along, I guess, and, you know, keeps the momentum going after winning the week before.
And Dan, you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of game, you know, it's always good to, you know, to go somewhere like that, get the win, particularly when they're struggling, you know, extra in good form. And it sort of just sort of puts behind them that, you know, 2 defeats in a row that they had, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Now they've won 2 in a row, so sort of back heading in the right direction, really. Another clean sheet, that's always what you want, particularly, you know, given, you know, missing Jordan Moore Taylor already, and then Luke Kral has to go off injured, so you've got a bit of a makeshift back four, playing together. You know, Dean Moxey playing centre half, and yet they still didn't concede a goal. So that's the, something you'll definitely be, really impressed by, the fact that they've gone somewhere like that, particularly given the amount of goals they conceded last year against Carlisle, and all those goals and those ridiculously expansive four games to go there and keep a clean sheet is exactly what you need. It's the kind of performance that you look back at the end of the season, probably won't remember the game too much, but it's one of those important 3 points that you pick up, particularly as I'm sure come to the next two games, Wickham and Luton, and they're going to be tough games as well, that you could easily see City dropping points in both games, but it just builds that little bit of a cushion, that little gap to the to the sides in third, fourth and beyond, that have a couple of games where maybe you only come away with two draws or something like that, you're still going to be in the top three when you back into what's supposedly the more winnable fixtures.
Jamie, Dan just mentioned there that Moxey dropping or coming on to go in the centre of defence. By all accounts, he acquitted himself perfectly well.
Yeah, he looked natural, to be honest. Like, he'd been playing there for most of his career. He came on in a time when Carlo weren't really dominating the match, but the second half particularly, he made a good goal on clearance as well, putting a few good challenges. So I think Tisdale said after the game that's the third position he's played in for City this season. I guess left back and left midfield as well, which shows how versatile he is and how crucial it could be. I think it perhaps sends out a message, because Troy Archibald-Henville was on the bench, that Tisdale would rather play a left back there instead of Troy. What does that say about his future? But the way it's going, don't really know the status of Luke Crowell at the moment, but I could see Moxey starting there on Saturday at Wickham.
Mm-hmm. David, have we got any word on Luke Crowell? It's a bit early at this point.
There is no knees really. Yeah. Paul Tisdale said to me yesterday that he doesn't really know how, it's nothing serious, but you don't know if he'll be fit for Saturday. I think they're going to sort of leave it to the last minute to find out.
Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. Well, speaking of Tisdale, let's have a listen to what his views are looking ahead to the Wickham game on Saturday.
Yeah, they're all tough games. We've got a real period of tough games at the moment, and followed by Luton, of course. So we've got difficult games, and we've not often succeeded at Wickham. So they've always been a very good competitor, and I'd like to compete against them as we've done in previous years, and we've got to find a way of turning that into a result. So I think we go into it understanding the opposition, understanding that their manager gets the best out of their players and knows what they're doing, and they got a very good work ethic. They understand each other, and they're going to be there'll be no giveaways at Wickham. We have to earn everything, and I think we're set for that, and we're ready to go. So we've got a week without a midweek game, which is a nice opportunity. So we're all ready.
And a word you've used quite a bit over the past 12 months is robust, and that probably sums up the type of display you'll have to have if you want to be successful at a place like Wickham.
Absolutely. It takes all sorts. We need all sorts of characteristics over the course of this season, and we know from experience and recent history that games at Wickham will be of a high tempo and will be competitive. And we will have to have players who are willing to contribute in all areas and play as a team and match the competitive instinct of the opponent. So I think we need, we will need a performance this week. We can't just hope it'll happen. We have to go out and earn it.
Well, that was Paul Tisdale there discussing the Wickham game. David, how important do you think this one is for City at the weekend?
Well, Wickham are only 4 points behind, so it's vitally important in a way. Reminds me, almost for the exact opposite reasons, of the Wickham game last season, where City travelled to Wickham on October the 1st, so around a similar time, and lost 1-0, and both teams were struggling at the bottom of the table at that point. Wickham used that win to sort of push up the table a little more and into mid-table, eventually travelling for the playoffs. And it's sort of that similar time where, you know, a win for City could open up a gap, as Wickham's win last season opened up a gap over City. I think it's an important game. It's going to be a difficult one as well.
So what can you tell us about Wickham? Do you know much about them as a side?
It's always a bit of a cliche about Wickham now, but they're big, strong, physical. You know, they don't mess around. They get the ball forward. You know, Akinfenwa up front, you know what you can get with him. Just someone who, you know, he'll sort of be in the face of the City defence in a way, and, you know, be quite physical with them. And I think that'll be an interesting battle between him and Troy Brown. Akinfenwa scored the winner last season when he managed to find some space and from Woodman. And, you know, you can't really give Akinfenwa space, which is probably why he was with Woodman, because Woodman's not as physical as him. So if City can keep on Akinfenwa, it could prove to be an interesting battle there.
Mm-hmm. Dan, what kind of side can you see Tiz putting out, particularly, I guess, if Kroll is missing and that sort of thing?
You'd think he's... Well, we've seen already this season he brought Troy Archibald-Henville in for the Lincoln game to deal with Matt Reid up front there, sort of almost a man-marking job on him, and you sort of feel, you know, that he might be a similar kind of thing. He looks at Akinfenwa and goes, well, okay, well, Troy Archibald-Henville, you just sit with him, mark him out the game, you know, so to speak, and see what else Wickham have got. That's possibly an option. You think it's a tough game to, you know, place to go to. You're going to not be too massively expansive, so I don't know if Jordan Tilson might come back into the side if fit, just to sort of shore up the midfield a little bit more. But you kind of feel you go there sort of looking, well, if you get a point, you'll take a point away at Wickham. You feel you're not going to chase the game too much, not go, you know, too gung ho for it. Whether you might at centre half, possibly, you know, you might get, you know, if depending on the status of Kroll, if he's fit, possibly you might want to use, you know, Troy Archibald-Henville there and Moxie instead of Holmes on the left wing as a, you know, more slightly more defensive option, just to sort of be a little bit more secure in the wide areas. Don't want to commit too much and then use him on the, you know, as a substitute on the bench too much. But I wouldn't expect, you know, I'd sort of obviously be looking to try and win the game, but not, you know, going flat out, you know, and trying to overcommit too much too early. You wouldn't have thought.
Point very much a good result, you think, in your eyes?
Well, definitely, yes. You know, Wickham, they're fourth in the table. They're up there at the minute, particularly. You know, they seem to be in pretty good form. I don't think Exeter have got a great record at Adams Park anyway. You know, it's a kind of, you know, Wickham away, you'd take a point there, and Luton at home after that, where you'd take a point in that one, and just move on, really, in the situation. You know, obviously, if you win the games, they're great, because they're two of your almost promotion rivals that you're beating, but, you know, same thing, you don't want to, you know, drop point, you don't want to lose to them so they can gain ground on you. So, you know, you feel a point would be a result that City would be absolutely, you know, delighted to take if you offered it now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Jamie, Dan just alluded to it there about City not having a great record against Israel. They haven't won at Adams Park since, I think, New Year's Day 2013, according to the notes David published out for the podcast. Any ideas of why that is, or what you put that down to?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a couple of times, actually. The last time I went, I think, was when we won about 4 years ago, and it is a really tough place to go. I think when we've won there, it's been by an odd, scrappy goal. I think it's just because the way that they play, I think they've gained a reputation under Gareth Ainsworth of, you know, getting stuck in, not being afraid to make a dodgy tackle, take a booking or worse. You know, I think Dave was mentioned earlier about the time wasting they did last season. I mean, it was at St James Park, but it's just a really tough place to go, especially when you've got players like Akinfenwa up front who will hold the ball and make it difficult for you to try and play. You know, I guess you could say they've got a long ball streak about them, which I guess is a thing of League Two these days, as opposed to City, who try and actually play football. But yeah, it's just a really difficult place to go. I don't think, you know, they can be intimidated by the crowd or the atmosphere, because all the times I've been there isn't one. But I think it's just the style of play that teams get really, you know, sussed out by, I guess. And, you know, like I said, Akinfenwa is such a tough guy to deal with. It could, you know, his performance could make or break the result for me.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you mentioned that kind of style that that they've got. I mean, there's obviously sort of gamesmanship and physicality and whatnot, but do they cross that line in your eyes?
I'm not sure they cross it exactly. I think, you know, they play to their strengths, and they don't have a big budget either. I mean, City don't either, but, you know, they really do make the most of what they got. And it is very competitive, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I think it can be frustrating to watch, because they do slow the game down a lot. But I don't think it's... I think a lot of the times the refs can be rather soft on it, but I don't think it is necessarily breaking the rules. It might be going into gamesmanship a little rather than actual fair sportsmanship. But I think, you know, there's probably not a team in League Two that don't do that, to be honest. You know, even, I mean, not to that extent, but there are even times where, you know, City might, you know, take a foul here or something like that. Everything does it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, let's talk about predictions quickly. Dan, what are you going for?
I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think there's going to be masses of goals in it. Maybe a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw, Jamie.
Yeah, I was going to go for a score draw. 1-1's gone, so I'll go 2-1.
David?
I'll go 2-1 to City.
I was just trying to remember who it was last week. Who was it who predicted the quite low-scoring City victory?
I think for the first time I went for goalless draw.
You go,
the first time all season I haven't gone for a 1-0 win. It turned out to be one. But.
Well, there we go. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out the weekend. Questions. We've got one from Tom Bond. When is Ryan Hardy back? David, any news?
No news at all, to be honest. It's one of those things that just drags on, to be honest. He always does pick up these niggly injuries at the start of the season. I think he did miss a part of pre-season, then came back and was on the bench for Cambridge, and then picked up a knock in that game for a heavy tackle. And I think it's just dragging on now. I'm not sure how long it's going to be honest. I was told about 4 or 5 weeks, and, you know, about 2 months ago now, yeah. So... it's just one of those things, I think.
Do City sort of need him back, would you say?
I think he'd be handy to have back, because he's a different type of midfielder to the ones we've got at the moment, really. He can, you know, a little similar to Lloyd James, but Lloyd James is a bit deeper than Ryan Hardy. Ryan Hardy plays a bit further up the pitch, and he's always got a couple of goals in him as well. So I think perhaps not necessarily need, as in desperately need, but he's a handy player to have for sure.
What about you, Jamie, from the City fans' perspective, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we necessarily missed him. I don't think there's been a game this season where I thought we really miss Harley. But, you know, when you've got James, Tilson and Boateng coming in, of course, they've all done pretty well. But as Dave says, a player of his quality, it's always great to have at least on the bench. You know, and he, on his day, you know, he can be a great player. You know, I think he's always had a little reputation over the years of being not necessarily lazy, but quite casual. But on his day, like I said, over the years that I've seen him play, he's been absolutely outstanding for City, a great player. And, you know, it's weird because you always almost forget that he, you know, does play for the club. He's been injured for so long. But, yeah, I don't think many have sort of mentioned him too much, but given how well we've done with, you know, like I said, Tilson, James and Boateng, but when he does come back, he can still make a difference for me.
I guess that's the thing, Dan, isn't it? He's City been a pretty good run without him as things stand, haven't they? So
yeah, but I suppose you look at it and pretty much every game this season City have been able to field a full-strength side. They really haven't had too much issue with injuries. Obviously the long-term injuries, Simpson and Brunt, and Moore Taylor's missed a couple of games for injury. Obviously Moxie started the season injured, but it's come back. But virtually, you know, nobody's really picked up any injuries. Nobody's missed a large chunk of sides. You've been able to play your strongest team. I mean, as it gets closer towards Christmas, the games pile up. You might pick up a few more injuries. You know, the odd game, they miss out for suspension. And that's when it's all, you know, you sort of have to start mixing, matching with the team a little bit more, bringing players who, you know, into the side to just to freshen things up a little bit. And, you know, obviously Ryan Harley, he is a key player. He's, you know, he can be a difference maker on his day. And if and when he does get fit, he's going to be a great option to bring back into the side, particularly given that a lot of players will have, you know, they'll have 15 games in their legs this season. Ryan Harley won't. So you feel by the, you know, the back end of the season, he should be fresher than a lot of other players, and, you know, we'll, might, you know, we can stay fit, get a run of games in him, and perhaps make the difference to, you know, getting over that line to promotion.
Mm. Well, watch this space, I suppose. We'll keep an eye on that. Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another episode.